Good morning, friends, and welcome to Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm John Sloop, along with Rita Dunaway, and our co-host, Dean Welty, is on assignment somewhere, Rita, stirring up the valley to stand for the values of faith, family, and freedom. I often wonder what we would do without Dean in the valley. Today, we offer...
Hang on a minute, Doc.
Wow.
I have an exciting announcement. I get to announce our first Crossroads program sponsor.
Awesome! An answer to prayer.
That's right. Today's program is brought to you by the dental practice of Scott Dunaway in Harrisonburg. And if the name sounds familiar,
I was going to say, it rings a bell.
That's right. Scott is my husband, and he is also an amazing dentist who wants to help fund this program.
Oh, awesome.
His practice offers a full range of dental services for the entire family. And they're open Monday through Friday. You can find them on the web at valleysmilecare.com.
Valleysmilecare.com. And what's the address?
They're near Sunnyside off of Route 33.
Awesome. Yep. Well, thank you, Scott Dunaway. And we want to encourage others of you to follow Scott's wonderful example to become sponsors. Well, as I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted. today we offer a part two in this four-part series on education in the Valley. Now, last week, our focus was on public education, we might say secular public education, and our guest was Drew Miller, principal of Montevideo Middle School. And I only wish that all of our public school administrators, principals, and teachers shared Drew's commitment to Christ and his passion to see children learn and grow. Now, today, we turn to the private sector as we discuss classical Christian education. And our guest is Bill Leach, who is pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church, a PCA church here in town that focuses more on traditional worship, I think. And Bill is also the founding board member of Redeemer Classical School, which is located in Keeseltown. Bill, I remember your contacting me all those years ago at the very beginning of this process as you shared with me your excitement about this dream. And here we are today, and the dream has become a reality. Now, as I prepared for today's discussion, I was reminded of Jesus' words in the Great Commandment when he said, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind." And biblical faith, and certainly the Reformed faith of which we are a part, has always focused, you know, the commitment of the mind. And then I was reminded of a great little verse in Psalm 111:10. Which in the NIV translation says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." Now, the public school, Bill and Rita, can teach the three R's. But because our nation has forsaken its religious heritage and bought into political correctness, public school students can no longer be taught what I call the fourth R, which is righteousness, the fear of the Lord. They cannot be grounded in God's precepts that lead to true wisdom and understanding. So, Bill, we're grateful to have you share with us about Redeemer Classical School and the importance of Christian education.
Okay, before you get started with Bill, Doc, I have to give a quick disclaimer. I am the parent of two Redeemer Classical School children, so I just want the audience to know up front that I'm completely biased, and I fully believe that Redeemer is the best pre-K through 8th grade school in the Valley.
Well, Rita, I remember the very first time that I met your precious son and daughter on Dean Welty's back porch, and I was so impressed with them. And your son's knowledge of world geography in particular, I recall that very, very well.
Thanks.
Well, Bill, before we get started, I think it's helpful for folks to just get to know a little bit about you, your background. So tell us about yourself, and again, welcome to the program.
Sure, great, and glad to be here. I moved here with my wife and at that point one son, and in 1995 started working with Covenant Presbyterian Church. Covenant then sent me and a group of families out to start Christ Presbyterian Church in 2009. I'm married. I have five children now, three boys and two girls, 21 down to the age 11. And so I've loved having my family here in the Valley, and it's been a great place to live and to grow and to dream with others.
Awesome. What do you do for fun, Bill?
Well, fun time often gets limited when you are pastor of a young church and trying to help a school get started. I'm not sure all that much time is free, but I really enjoy reading. Love doing woodworking projects when I find the time for it, and then most of the rest of the time is just living life with a busy family.
Yeah,
awesome. Well, how long has Redeemer been in the Valley, and what was your inspiration, along with others, Bill, to get this project off the ground?
Sure. I often say that this whole endeavor is my wife's fault. She had a classical education growing up. She is a teacher by vocation and training, and had taught for years before we had children. As we started having children, we began with the process of homeschooling, and she really sort of moved them in a classical model. Mm-hmm. As the family continued to grow, we realized that we really wanted to continue that, and really through her impetus began doing some reading and study, reflection, and then talking with other families of like mind. Basically, we got together with a group of folks in about 2001 and began to seriously contemplate that endeavor of a school. And then by 2004, to compress quite a bit of history and labor, Redeemer opened its doors, and the rest, as they say, is history. Mm-hmm. So
you mentioned your wife, Annie, taught at the school. She still teaches at the school, right?
Yes, she has taught there. The school's just, you know, a little over 10 years, and mm-hmm. almost every year but one has taught something, but primarily has been the Latin teacher there, as well as teaching literature and English.
And how many of your kids have actually attended the school?
All five of them have been there in some way, shape, or form.
All
yes.
Right.
Awesome. Before we get into the really deep stuff about classical Christian education, give us a snapshot, Bill, of if I were to go onto the campus today. You know, where is it? What do the facilities look like? What's
sure.
the enrollment? And so forth.
Yeah. So Redeemer meets in the former Kieseltown, I guess it was various elementary high school, but it's the Kieseltown school building. And it's a beautiful setting right
yes.
there, kind of at the foot of Massanutten. And so it is pre-K through eighth grade. This fall, I think we've got somewhere around 115 students enrolled in the school. So not only are we starting a school, but we have sort of the glorious task of sort of reclaiming this historic building in
yeah.
the community as well, and this, you know, literally this beautiful setting.
And do you have room there? I have not been there, I must say, but do you have ample space to grow and to build? So you're looking to stay there?
We are looking to stay there and continuing the work of renovating the school with the landlord mm-hmm. who actually owns the facility.
Great. Mm-hmm. I like the name Redeemer Classical, but of course Redeemer is a biblical term. It refers to Christ, our Savior. And so the question would be, is the school only for Christians? I'll start with that one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great question. And the name of the school, I mean, we are very consciously thinking about Christ the Redeemer and
yes.
naming it Redeemer Classical School. We are a Christian school, and as such, we have a very clear and I would say thorough statement of faith that is really drawing on the historic tenets of Orthodox Christian belief.
Would that be found on your website?
Yes. Okay. All you know, most of everything we're talking about today, you go on the website. And,
which is?
RedeemerClassical.org. All
That's
one
right.
word, RedeemerClassical.org. I had to look to read it and make sure I had that right. I'm not technologically
that is right.
astute always. But at any rate, you know, we are a Christian school in the sense that we have that clear profession of who we are as Christians. We require our board and our faculty to sign off on that statement of faith in good conscience without reservation. But we don't require the families that come to the school to have a particular profession of faith. And so in that sense, we are a Christian school, but we are, you know, we're coming with a belief that offering a classical education from a Christian perspective yeah. is the very best that we can offer. And therefore, we believe it's best for any and every child.
I suspect you could tell stories of in students and families who perhaps came to know Christ the Redeemer.
Well, and you know, a lot of times when we were starting the school and we sort of framed our understanding in the community, a lot of times Christians would sort of raise that very issue. Then you're trying to be an evangelistic entity. And certainly as Christians, we always have that perspective of wanting to witness and proclaim, you know, the Lordship of Christ. But we're a school.
Right.
And so we're committed to offering an excellent academic environment for our children. And it's in the warp and woof of that education that there is the presentation of what Christianity is.
Certainly.
So, you know, in that sense, we're a school first and wanting, you know, the community to hear that loud and clear.
You know, before I started learning about Redeemer, when I was thinking about, Scott and I were talking about where to send our own kids to school, I had never heard of classical education. But the combination, I think, of a Christian worldview and classical curriculum, excellent academic standards, is really what I think sets Redeemer apart from every other school in the Valley. Can you explain for our listeners exactly what a classical education is and why you think it's important?
Sure. And understandably, the whole idea of what a classical education is not something that is widely understood. I didn't understand it before embarking on this endeavor. But, you know, it's interesting that it is in many ways at the foundation of Western thought about what education is the classical model. But in brief, the first thing I would say, if you folks are interested in this, Dorothy Sayers, the novelist, has written a great essay, The Lost Tools of Learning. Mm-hmm. And that is just a wonderful and very, I think, clear and concise short read as to what classical education is aiming for. But in short, classical education is driven by this idea of basically a method and a content. The method being something called the trivium, basically three ways. And the three aspects or ways or stages are first the grammar stage. You know, the reason that we have grammar schools in this country is because of the classical roots of our educational philosophy. But the grammar stage, then the logic stage, then the rhetoric stage. So grammar is really sort of what we would think of as elementary education. And it's at that stage that we're really sort of seizing upon the child's natural developmental abilities of loving stories, of loving to memorize things and repeat things. And so you're really sort of filling the children at that point with the grammar, not only of language, but really the grammar, the basic building blocks of everything, of math, of science, of art, of geography. Mm-hmm. And so you move then from that stage into what we would call middle school traditionally, and that's the logic stage. And if you have a middle school child, you know the propensity at that stage as they move from concrete to abstract thinkers to argue with you.
Yes.
And question everything.
And so part of what the classical model does is it seizes, again, on that very natural developmental process and says, okay, we're going to teach you how to argue logically. And so you move in and you take everything that you've sort of given them in the grammar stage, and they're beginning to put it together in a logical framework. You know, and I can't tell you how fun it is to sit at the dinner table and listen to the kids go back and forth, and you know, as they argue with each other, as they are wont to do, to have them point out the logical fallacies of each other's arguments.
That's great.
And then finally, the rhetoric stage, where you know, typically that's where we would think of as high school, and that's rhetoric. It's the idea of putting all this together in a way that reflects eloquence and beauty and persuasion. And so that's really sort of the methodology of a classical education. And in that sense, the content is then sort of trying to draw upon the classics of the Western tradition and in all arenas. So that in a very brief form is what classical education is sort of aimed at.
And then if I could just clarify something Rita said earlier, then the integration of this biblical worldview and of Scripture, does that come in just because the teachers are Christian, or are there Bible verses in memory that go along with each different stage, or how is the scriptures integrated intentionally into this trivium?
Sure. Well, first off, it comes from the fact that our faculty is Christian.
Yes.
And they are committed to an understanding that, you know, whatever they do is unto the Lord. And so it's that sort of pervasive sense of all learning and all knowing being as unto the Lord, as unto God. But there are Bible classes, there's theology, there is memorization of Scripture. I mean, you know, there's large swaths of Scripture that, you know, the kids are memorizing. And in addition to that, there's also the regular sort of touchstone of thinking with the children as we study history, as we study science, as we look at math and the order of the universe, of drawing the children back to what's behind all this, what's at the foundation of all this. So it's, in one sense, it's not a class, but in another sense, it pervades everything that we do.
You know, Doc, the first Friday of the month, generally, once the school year is going, the school has the students do recitations of the things that they're learning, which includes always the scriptures that they're learning, but also just beautiful classical poetry and pieces of literature. And it is amazing to me every time I attend just how beautiful it is, you know, the classics, to see kids who are learning, and you can tell that they're understanding it, they're enjoying it, they are discovering the beauty of the classics, and I just love that. One of my favorite things about the school is the way that all of the subjects are integrated with the students' learning of history and their study of religion. It seems like it's such an effective way to help kids actually know and understand history on a much deeper level than I ever did doing just the modern traditional educational methods. Bill, would you say that this method of learning history, or just the emphasis on history, is a unique characteristic of classical education, and why is it important?
Well, I would say that it's certainly an aspect of it. But I think the thing that stands out for a lot of families and children is the idea that we're often approaching this as a story. Mm-hmm. And so rather than it being, you know, a subject that you have to master, it's more a story that the children are being invited into.
Yeah.
And they love that.
They
and
do.
So in that sense, yes, we're telling them the story of history. And as they learn the story, it's not just rote facts. I mean, certainly they memorize a historical outline, but much in the same way you would know sort of the high points of any story.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, again, drawing on that natural inclination of children to love story. And I think the importance of it is, you know, in some ways, just the idea that you're teaching them how to learn. You're teaching them and you're seizing upon their love of learning, and you're growing that and you're developing that. And so, yeah, it's an important thing. And they very naturally see how all of these different areas of history and of science and of discovery of math and the development of nation states and how religion plays into that, and how Christianity both is being used well and used poorly in that context.
Yes,
that they're growing in their understanding not only of learning but how to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, I know that students in classical education learn Latin. And I think start in kindergarten. And your wife, I believe, actually teaches Latin at Redeemer. So a lot of people would say, well, Latin is a dead language, meaning it's not spoken anymore. It's just a language of the past. Why bother studying it?
Right. And part of my response would be, why bother studying anything?
Right.
If that's our perspective. But, you know, obviously Latin is not spoken, but to say that that's the thing that makes it a living language or not is really not the case. Latin is very much alive in terms of our studies, particularly of Western thought. And so we want our children to understand, and Latin's certainly not the only way to go about that, but it is one way, and it's an important way in terms of our culture. One of the things that's, you know, sort of anecdotally that's fun to remember, I was reading the biography of John Adams. Mm-hmm. And part of, you know, when Adams was in Europe, and I believe it was in the Netherlands, you know, he was there with his oldest son, who he enrolled in school, who didn't understand Dutch, so he was not growing and, you know, learning. So he enrolled the child in the Latin school there, which was a university setting, and the kid wasn't even anywhere near that. But he did great.
Yeah.
Because it was all in Latin.
Yeah.
But at any rate, part of what we're doing here is we're teaching the kids Latin because we hope, in one sense, they're going to read Latin someday. You know, now, that there's honestly a small minority of the students are going to end up being in a place where they read Latin and go to some of the original works. But beyond that, you know, learning Latin is a way in which they are learning really the structure of language. Mm-hmm. And the study of Latin itself equips them to really master language and almost go on into the study of almost any other kind of language. Mm-hmm. Because they understand the structure of language. But it, you know, there's also the side benefits. And this is what people focus on, but I sort of see it as a tertiary sort of idea, that it helps them in terms of vocabulary and spelling and all the Latin roots. And that's wonderful. But really, it's the study of that language. And we could, you know, I could go on being married to the Latin teacher, but, you know, it's...
I can tell you're passionate about it.
You know, it's an inflected language, yeah. Unlike English. And so in that sense, it is teaching the structure of language, which I would say is teaching the structure of thought.
And it helps, too, if you're trying to win a spelling bee. You know, the kids
right.
always say, what is the derivation of that word? And if they know it comes from Latin, it helps them spell the words.
Right.
Read?
Well, probably the most recent development at Redeemer Classical School is that just within this past year, a few months ago, we achieved accreditation with Christian Schools International. So it's now a fully accredited school. And Bill and I both served on the school's improvement team, which was a part of that accreditation process. And that was a lot of hard work, wasn't it,
yeah,
Bill?
It was.
But I just wanted to read for our audience a few of the statements from the report written by this team of outside professional educators who spent multiple days reviewing our curriculum, but also actually observing our school and being on the campus. They said, "Teachers identify and celebrate the individual gifts of each student." They said the teachers at Redeemer exude enthusiasm and love for children. The team also remarked upon the fact that each student, as they entered the building for the day, was greeted by name, and that it was incredible to see the kids' enthusiasm about being at school as they would enter the school building. Then the accrediting agency's mentor, David Ritter, said this: "You can tell a lot about a school by the countenance of the kids as they sit in their classrooms." And he remarked on how excited the kids obviously were to be there and to be learning. Bill, what do you think makes Redeemer Classical School unique and special?
Well, obviously, we're committed to the method of classical education, and see in that a process in which we're really not only teaching children, but we're teaching them how to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, I think the other aspect of the school that has always been, in my mind, unique and special is our faculty. We have a great and incredible set of teachers that they work really hard. They love to teach. They, you know, it's really in the truest sense of the word, it is their vocation. They love the work that they do, and they love the children. Many of them, if you talk to them outside of the classroom or you talk to their families, you know that their families see them and know that they're teachers. They cannot not teach. and so that's part of what is so special about the school is their love of learning, their love of the students, their love of instruction. And so, you know, in many ways, trying to start something new like this, a classical school, not many people are trained in that model. But the thing that we've found over the years is give us a good teacher, you know, who loves learning, who loves Christ, who loves the idea of loving the students, and we can equip them to fulfill, you know, the method of the classical model. And so we've been very blessed to have just an incredible faculty that is deeply, deeply committed to the work that we're undertaking there.
That's awesome. Earlier, we began our program by reminding ourselves of the great commandment when Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But the second commandment, he said, is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And I know that Redeemer Classical is seeking to express love for neighbor, the second commandment, through community service. And why don't you tell us more about that?
Well, I wouldn't say that we have necessarily sort of a program per se in that way, but one of the things that has always been true of the school since its founding is the desire to be out in the community. And one of the primary ways that we've seen that happen is for music, there is a handbell choir.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And so the handbell choir regularly over the years will go into different settings and often retirement homes and nursing homes of that nature. And Kath Wissinger, the lady that instructs the children in the handbells, does an incredible job not only of preparing them to perform, but she really requires them then to, at the end of the performance, to go out and
yes.
interact. And they take the handbells out, they mm-hmm. work and talk with the folks that are there at the performance. And I think both for the children and for the folks that are listening to the performance, that's part of a great blessing mm-hmm. that the children can sort of interact with that older generation. And that's one of the ways that I think the children really are blessed in the community as well.
Yeah, my daughter's class was part of one of those trips this past year, and they also performed some Shakespeare mm-hmm. at this retirement community. It was neat to see. As a pastor, Bill, how well do you think the school does at equipping students, both for further educational pursuits, but also for taking their faith out into a world that is often hostile to faith?
Well, again, you know, I'm sounding like a parrot, but coming back to this idea of teaching the children how to learn is so key. And some of the early reading and stuff that we did about the school, there was one story of in Europe as the more modern philosophy of education was coming about. One professor asked the head of a classical school, you know, what was going to be the difference for his students as they entered university.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he basically said they are going to be able to learn how to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really key. And the other element I would say is that they're doing that in a Christian context.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than having a separate class per se where they learn how to integrate their faith, it's with them all along. And so it's a natural part of who they are and educationally what they're doing, going about in terms of how they think.
Thank you, Bill, for your vision to bring Redeemer Classical School into being. You're coming to share with us today. Next week, our guest is Carolyn Paradzinski of the Blue Ridge Christian School in Bridgewater, Virginia. All past programs are archived at www.valleyfamilyforum.org, or you can find us on Facebook. Friends, if Crossroads is a blessing to you, please join our support team. You may send your contributions to Crossroads at P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg, Virginia, 22803. And again, thank you, Scott Dunaway of Dunaway Dentistry, for his generous contribution. So until next week, this is John Sloop and Rita Dunaway encouraging you to be salt and light and to make a difference for Christ at the crossroads where faith and culture meet.